Hi, everybody. I am going to attempt to run this meeting tonight with your help. Cherie, it will not be joining us. So welcome, everyone, on May 23rd at 5:32. I'm pleased to call this meeting to order of the Tacoma Creates Advisory Board. Before we dive in, I'd like to gratefully acknowledge that we rest on the land, the traditional lands of the Puyallup people, where they make their home and speak the Lushootse language. And now I will do a roll call. Allison Campbell.
Present.
Megan Clark. Cherie Cooks. Amanda Figueroa.
Present.
Maeve Glackencoley.
Present.
Roxanne
Rhea. Present.
Rhea. Thank you. Naomi O'Connor.
Present.
Brian Robinson.
Present.
And Lisa San Kiel.
Stan Kyle.
Thanks, everybody. And at this time, I want to acknowledge that both Cherie and Megan are out this evening. Next, I'm going to ask someone to make a motion to approve the agenda as well as the minutes from the April meeting.
So moved.
Thank you, Amanda. May I have a second?
Second.
Oh. Thanks, Allison. Any discussion? All in favor? Awesome. The motion carries. Okay. Now, I forgot the warm-up, so we're going to do that now. I am going to ask everyone if they could have dinner with anyone living or dead, who would it be? As we think about coming on to Memorial Weekend, the beginning of summer, just sort of, I think of it as sort of a seasonal cultural change. And I am happy to go first. I would have dinner with, I think, Tchaikovsky. I think that he was the first composer that I listened to as a child. I somehow just fell in love with his music, and I would love just to sit on a piano bench and talk to him and watch him and just be in the moment of him making music and just sort of that time in our history, what inspired him. I think I want to know about the inner child in him, because he did do a lot of works for children. So I am going to pass it to Brian.
Thank you. I think mine would be my grandfather. He's passed away for a while now, but I don't know. Just like, I think that would be mine. My next person is going to be Allison.
I have to go with Dolly Parton. The reasons might be obvious. I'm a giant fan, have been to Dollywood many times. And I don't know if you listened to the podcast, Dolly Parton's America, which was amazing. I learned so much about her, but it also left me with lots of questions that I would want to ask her that were not revealed. And I think she holds a lot of things close to her chest, no pun intended. I think she would appreciate that. I know. So yes, I will pass it on to Rico.
Thanks, Allison. I'm also going to take the composer route, like Putter, and I'm going to go with the recently deceased Stephen Sondheim. He is one of my all-time favorite composers, just period. He's also the person I played my first orchestra pick was Sweeney Todd, which is arguably the best musical written from a theory standpoint. I could actually talk about that for hours upon hours upon hours. And I just want to pick his brain about his process and just how he was able to navigate and elevate American musical theater through the time that Broadway was allegedly not as popular. So yeah, I'd love to speak with him. And I will send it to Naomi O'Connor.
Okay. I think there are a lot of notable people that I would like to have dinner with, but if I'm being honest with myself, Putter, you said in the moment, I don't feel like I would actually be able to be in the moment, just myself personally, with someone I, famous or notable. So I'm thinking about a dance mentor that I had. Her name was Amy, and she died early at 37 of lung cancer in 2015. And I didn't get closure. I mean, a lot of people didn't get closure. And I think it would be her. And I'm going to pass it to Amanda.
Thanks, Naomi. Well, I'm on Team Brian with this one. I would love to have dinner with multiple generations of grandparents. I think that'd be really fun, envisioning a really long table with people from countries who never thought that they would know each other. And so that would be my ideal dinner. And I'll pass it to the person to my left on my screen, Clarissa.
Oh, I am having such a hard time picking one person, but the first person that came to mind was actually my partner's grandma, because I've heard so many stories about how my partner was her favorite grandchild and just like how she was an amazing cook and all, like just so many great stories. And I would love to meet her and just talk about all sorts of things. So yeah, I guess I'll pass it to Lisa.
I'm going to stay with the family theme. There's lots of famous people that could go on my list, but the family theme is resonating tonight. And I would pick a great, great grandparent who I never met. And there's so little family history that I know past the grandparent era. And I think I would pick my mother's father's father, who was a wood carver, and learn about his life and times before the United States. Let's see, who has it gone? Roxanne.
Where was the carving wood?
I think it was Poland. Mm-hmm.
Cool. I immediately thought of my mother and father. They've been passed for a long time, so I miss them so much. And dinners were so fun. They were really eccentric and wonderful people. And yes, I had lots of famous people that popped in, but the first thing was my parents. So, Amy.
Thanks, Roxanne. Well, I'd have tons of people too. And the person that came to my mind is still alive and well, and I hope he continues to be for a long time. His name is Theaster Gates. And he's a African-American artist based in Chicago, internationally known. And I love him. He started out as a ceramic artist, but he's an intersectional civic. He's been able to acquire buildings and turn them over to his community and really work across housing and just that 360 approach to true community building. And I love how he thinks and what he's been able to do. So that's who I would choose. And I believe, have you gone, Maeve?
I haven't.
It's Maeve.
Okay. My answer is I would have dinner with the recently passed Joan Didion, because she wrote some of my favorite books. And I also love the way that you couldn't, in my opinion, you can't really trap her into just being an author or a journalist or a feminist or any of these things. I think she's so many opinions and insights on everything. And I'm sad that I didn't get into her work until, like, I got into her work in quarantine. So about 2 years before she died. And I wish I had more time with the alive and lively version of her. So Yeah. And then I had two answers, and my other answer was Freddie Mercury. I just wanted to share that one.
Totally cool. Nate, yeah. Sometime we'll have to go for a walk, and I'll tell you about the multiple times I met Joan Didion. I went to college with Quintana Roo, her daughter.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to meet her multiple times, and she too was a huge hero of mine.
I'll have my dad connect us.
Absolutely. And then we still have Naomi.
Naomi. No.
I'm going to go with the grandparent route too. That was my first thing. So I would have dinner with my grandmother on my father's side. Very dear person to me. Huge life influence. Named my daughter after her. All the stuff. And we are eating her homemade macaroni and cheese, which is the one thing that we always begged her to make for us.
I want to thank everyone. I was inspired by this question with a friend that is struggling with some family relations right now. So at this time, we will take public comment on any items that are on the agenda. If you are a guest at this meeting and would like to speak on an agenda item, please use the raise a hand feature on Zoom and type public comment in the chat, and we will record your name. And when called on, please state the agenda item that you're speaking to, and attendees will have 90 seconds to speak. Do we have anyone in the wings, Clarissa? Okay.
Nope.
Then we'll move on from this section, and I will hand it over to Lisa, because we're having a special meeting so that we can recommend funding. And there's a lot of organizations. So Lisa, Clarissa, and Rico are going to take this part of the agenda.
Great. Thank you so much, Putter. So great to see you all. Thank you for being here for this special meeting and a shorter meeting. Hopefully you all saw the email that I sent out this afternoon. If you haven't gotten to it and you're able to open it on the side, that might help you if you can see it better on your own device than on what I'm going to screen share. So we're going to, or rather what Clarissa is going to screen share. And we're gonna go through some slides, and then I'm going to hand it over to the TCAB representatives from the impact funding panel, Brian and Allison. But let's go ahead and jump into these slides. So a couple of them are gonna look rather familiar because they are the same or similar to ones that you saw quite recently when we reviewed the comprehensive organizational support recommendations. And this first slide is the budget overview. It hasn't changed in the last 3 weeks. It's just here to remind us that this is our overall plan budget for the next funding cycle, with the vast majority of the sales tax funds coming in, going right back out to our organizations. I'm not gonna walk through the details since we did that recently, but I'll just pause for a moment and see if anybody has a question here. Great, all right. The funding goals are the same for both funding categories. We went through these just a couple of weeks ago. So won't go over them in detail, but just grounding us in the fact that this is about supporting public programs in arts, culture, heritage, or science, increasing access with a focus on supporting programming by and for culturally or ethnically specific communities and other underrepresented groups, increasing youth education, and supporting the sustainability of cultural sector organizations in Tacoma. The application review process follows the exact same pattern as comprehensive organizational support. Here are the details that are relevant for impact funding. There were 46 applications that were received by the deadline. After staff screened for eligibility and completeness, there were applications that were sent to the eligibility committee, and you may recall that there were four that TCAB approved the eligibility committee recommendations, that four were not eligible to be reviewed. All of the eligible applications went to the review panel. Panelists individually review and score everything using the published criteria, and then submit their scores and comments to staff. Then there was many hours of meeting together, conversations facilitated by staff, And then panelists develop recommendations for funding based on average scores. And then those recommendations come to this body for review and voting. In the impact funding category, there are a few things that are a little bit different from the comprehensive category. A couple of the differences are that in this category, organizations may be doing stuff all year long, or they may be doing one-time programming, something that happens on just one day or a very short series within about a month. Organizations in this category might be doing just general public programming with no youth education programming, or they might be doing just youth education programming with no general public programming. That's different from the comprehensive category, where organizations are need to be doing both in that category. And another thing about this category is that organizations that don't have their own 501c3 nonprofit status can apply using a fiscal sponsor. And so we do have a number of organizations using a fiscal sponsor. Excuse me. Organizations in this category can request up to $50,000 per year, regardless of their budget size. And expanded learning opportunity and Tacoma Public Library programs come with additional support once those programs are approved by our partners. The review criteria for this category is very similar to comprehensive. We look at programming merit and value, community engagement and impact, equity and access, and capacity and feasibility. And if you want to be reminded of the details of what these things mean, they are in the published application guidelines. And the we had a phenomenal panel, as we usually do, a very hardworking panel. This is the list of who was participating in the panel. A really nice variety of backgrounds and perspectives. Brian and Allison can comment more on that if they like. I do want to point out that the panelists provided a combined total of approximately 315 hours of work. There were 42 applications that they read and many days of many hours of panel meetings on multiple days. So we really, really, really appreciate everybody's time that worked on this panel. And so I am now going to turn it over to Brian and Allison, and we'll go to the next slide. And Brian, you can take it away from here.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate everybody as well that was on the panel. It didn't seem like 315 hours, but it did seem like 300 at least. This is the true story. Seven diverse strangers picked to serve on the panel from various backgrounds or levels of community engagement. We experienced great communication from Tacoma Creative staff in the form of scheduling, criteria, and rules for panel involvement and an orientation on what to expect during our tenure. We were instructed to go through the first 14 applications, apply the criteria, and come back for a filling out process of scoring. Our panel brought different eyes and experience. It made for a robust critical discussions. There were laughs, thought-provoking questions, and respectful environment for critique and breakdowns of the applications. We went through 28 more applications on the following day later on, totaling in that 315 total hours served. My particular favorite part of it was just, I think everybody looked at something different within the applications, which gave for a full picture. Like there was things that I didn't consider, like as far as like transportation or parking or something as simple as subtitles on a video that could make it more accessible to a larger audience. That just, I think it was a good moment just to experience what it takes to make everybody inclusive and to provide equity for different people with different backgrounds. I think at this point, I will lay it up to Allison.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Just to kind of support what Brian said, the committee was really just well-crafted, and two
6-hour Zoom meetings 2 days in a row sounds like an absolute nightmare, but it was a complete pleasure because the conversation was so rich and robust. You know, and folks came from kind of different corners of the cultural sector, and there were longtime Tacomans and newer Tacomans like me, and everybody I think did a really great job of keeping their personal association or familiarity with some of these organizations kind of at bay, and really just looking at the application and the review criteria and the funding goals. And we were really, I don't feel like we really strayed, you know, at least I never really had to pull Arenas back in because we were starting to kind of include information that was outside of what was just in front of us at the moment. A couple of things that we really talked about were sort of the value of different types of programs, the programs that maybe reach a broad, big, giant public audience for one day, right? The one day festival versus when you're looking at attendance numbers and that kind of data, the kinds of programs that go really deep, right? So you may be reaching fewer individuals, but that engagement could be over many months or over a whole year. And so, you know, the, just, you know, each of those types of programs have value. I think the most exciting thing to me, I got a little giddy about it, was the number of proposals that we got that were really kind of in conversation with each other. Organizations that are collaborating in a really intense way on some of these projects that were proposed. It was so exciting to see. I think it's a credit to Tacoma Creates that those connections and relationships are growing and deepening around the goals of this program. So I think, are we ready to take a look at the funding tiers? Okay, this was hard work, y'all. And so I think, you know, we kind of, Lisa and the staff were so thoughtful about how they kind of laid out the process for us. And so they zeroed in on specific applications where there was a great disparity in the rankings amongst the committee members, the panelists. And we really spent a lot of time talking about those. Then there were, you know, the group that kind of we all had ranked near our top tier. And there were the groups that, you know, everybody kind of felt like the applications were just sort of lacking or they didn't rank as highly on the review criteria. And so we kind of focused a lot of our conversation on the ones where there was a big difference in kind of rank and feeling. And that was really rich dialogue around that. As we kind of finalized our numbers, there were some kind of obvious sort of breaks here, and you can see that's where we opted to kind of create those tiers. If it was a matter of, you know, a 0.05 or something, we did a little nudging, a little rounding up to get to the point that felt really fair and good. And then, you know, 88%, those feel like funny numbers, but that was all to get us to that total amount that we had overall to fund all of the projects. You'll notice that there was just one organization that we chose not to fund. That application amongst all of the panelists sort of had not risen to a level of consideration. And then there were two organizations, we kind of created these special tiers for the Knight Media Foundation and the Cousin Collective. you can see that their rankings were a little bit lower than that third tier. We wanted to support them. We felt like they, as either organizations or in their process of writing an application, had some work to do. So we kind of look forward to seeing what they bring back and what they report out and how they can grow from here. But they just didn't, as a group, we didn't feel that they rose to the level of some of the other applications. Brian, do you want to add anything to all of that?
I will. I would say, like, keeping in mind those tier levels of funding applications, you'll see the white one is the second tier of 88%, and then the third tier of 77%. Now, there were, applicants requesting less than $10,000 that fell into these two brackets were funded at 100%. It's because the opportunity presented itself to invest in smaller organizations with a little bit of money could mean more impact. And we didn't want to penalize smaller groups with less experience in applying for funding opportunities. And it kind of just spoke to the spirit of the funded goals to go that route. As Allison already mentioned, the two programs were funded below the 70% due to the application merit. Again, like she said, we hope that they come back next time with a stronger application and some history of involvement. And let's see, one organization was not funded at all due to the application criteria and information given or left out. And that's my wrap up.
I will just add, Brian, thank you so much. You can imagine what a wonderful panelist Brian was. He's very thorough. As TCAB members, we kind of had I had kind of a unique view. There were some things that popped up routinely that the committee kept saying, I just want to know more. For me, I was like the evaluation police, right? So I was like, they don't explain how they're going to tell us that they did, that they accomplished this thing, right? But I know, because of the conversations we've had here, that that this is something that you all are taking on to work with organizations on, and you've already identified this as an area of growth for some of these organizations. Or I know we've talked about, and the staff is working on a way to map where the actual locations of where the programs are happening across the city. And this was something that was of real interest to the committee, to sort of like really ensure that the programs are happening in the places where we want them to, and in the community, serving the communities that they say they are. And so it was just really heartening. And I want you all to know that the staff is very in tune with what the needs are of these organizations. And I expect in the future years, with all of this sort of wraparound support that they're going to be providing, that these applications will just get tighter, these projects will just get more effective, and yeah, so that was really exciting. Anyway, now I'm done.
Are you ready for me to call for a motion?
Oh, was I supposed to say something to that?
I can tell that out here, Brian.
If somebody could throw me that slide.
I would like to call for a motion for the panel's recommendation for the 2022-23 recommendations. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Amanda. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Roxanne. Discussion. Does anybody have any questions around this? First of all, let's just thank the TCAB board members that helped lead this conversation, because really a lot of work, you guys. Any questions?
I have a question.
Okay, Amanda, what do you got?
So I'm always thoughtful about how Tacoma Creates is a regressive tax. And so I would love to know, are there any applications or strategies highlighted in the applications or programs that you felt particularly moved by in terms of reducing barriers to participation?
That's a good question. Allison, do you want to go first?
Sure. I mean, I'll be interested to hear from Brian, but I certainly would say that the committee was very tuned in to, the criteria around, have it in front of me, equity and access for sure. So it was everything, like Brian said, to, making sure, like, there were organizations that spoke a lot about their location being close to public transportation, about providing childcare and food, and Tina, one of our
colleagues on the panel was really tuned into what organizations were providing translations of their materials and calling that out in their application. So I do think that the panel was kind of tuned into that pretty closely. And I felt that many of the applications really reflected a commitment to removing barriers of all kinds. I don't know, would you agree, Brian?
Yeah, that's my thing. I would say is what spoke most to me is the ones that just said something that I did not think about or consider. Like there was one that specifically called out, well, homeless people have access to this programming. Anybody has access to this program just based off of location. So like stuff like that, they gave people of no matter what background, no matter what, even if there was no advertising, they could experience this. I think that's what gave me the like, okay, that provides a huge equity to the whole city.
Thank you.
I will say, you know, there were lots of organizations who in their application identified communities that they wanted to serve. And some of them did a very good job of explaining how they were going to communicate with those communities, how they were going to do that outreach piece, particularly if it was a new community for them. And some organizations did not do a very good job of explaining how they were going to connect with those folks and bring them in. And so that, but the committee was very tuned into that. That was something that, you know, certain committee members for sure were paying very close attention to.
Roxanne?
I suppose this might be a Lisa Clarissa question, but when this is all said and done, is there any sort of place where we can read a summary of what the app, what they're funding? I know we can always go and see what the numbers are, but I'm always so curious, you know, what their theme was or what they're proposing.
Yeah, that's a really good question. We could do that. We haven't like published that before, but that's something that we could put together.
Good question. Any other?
I was going to make a couple of quick comments, if I might.
You may.
One thing is that I just wanted to point out that there are a solid handful of new organizations new to Tacoma Creates. And we are very pleased about that. The new organizations are a pretty diverse group of organizations and a lot of them are BIPOC focused. So that is really great. I wanna note that the Hilltop Business Association is one of the new organizations, and I don't need to call them out as specifically about them, but what I want to note is that their program, to answer Roxanne's question, is the Hilltop Street Fair. And why that's notable is that one of the things that came up in the campaign for Tacoma Creates was supporting neighborhood fairs and festivals. And we didn't actually fund any in the first couple of years, partly because those things weren't happening for reasons we all know. And partly because there is a sort of special application category for business associations that are recognized by the city, because it's a special eligibility category. So this is the first time used, so it's going to be more to follow. And then I will also note that there's a couple of organizations that were funded in year one that didn't apply in year two for various reasons that now applied again and were funded for year three. So just some overarching kind of trend info that I think is good to know. Oh, and finally, you'll notice the asterisks on the list, and that the organizations with an asterisk are those that have proposed expanded learning opportunity or Tacoma Public Library programming. And so once we get confirmation from our partners, we will know if and how much there's additional funding added to those contracts to support those add-on opportunities. Thank you.
Okie doke. I am going to call for a vote, but I would like to make a note that there are three TCAB members that have declared a conflict of interest. Naomi with Tupac and the Tacoma City Ballet, Brian with the Tacoma Refugee Choir, and Lisa with Luss and the Tacoma Refugee Choir. So at this point, we are going to vote on a slate, but they have declared their conflict of interest, so the slate is fine, and we have more than a quorum. So all in favor, please raise your hand. All opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you, everyone. This motion has passed. And I again want to thank both Brian and Allison for so much work. And I want to thank the staff. The staff has done just yeoman's work on both of these panels. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of organization. And we would not be the strong organization and advisory board without the support of the staff. Okay. The next steps, staff will work with these organizations to confirm their plans and deliverables for the next upcoming year and their contracts. So exciting. Another year in the books. Okay. Do we have any comments or statements about any engagement with Tacoma Creates partners or funded programs? Anyone want to share? It's a quiet night, special meeting. Any suggestions for future agendas? June's agenda is going to be great. We've got lots of things on it. So we're looking forward to having that meeting, even though we've had two in May. All right. At this point, I think I will call to adjourn the meeting. Clarissa can stop the recording, but we will, for everyone's sake, we will stay on for a few more minutes if you have any questions or anything you want to talk about. So Clarissa, you can stop the recording.
Hunter, do you want to state the time before
I will state the time. We are adjourning this meeting at 6:09 on May 23rd, 2022.